It's Friday, November 22nd. It is pouring outside here in San Francisco. It was certainly snowing, like blizzard-like conditions in Cleveland for Browns and Steelers on Thursday Night Football. I would make for some great TV. We'll share some of that with you in a little bit here. But we got ourselves a big game for the 49ers, and it's a game where it doesn't feel like they're really prepared to go there and win it. Due to the fact that it really looks like Nick Bosa is not playing in this game, Trent Williams is officially trending in the wrong direction. Larry Kruger and I did a wake up already this morning, and we both think that Brock Purdy will be playing on Sunday, but here's a guy who walked off the practice field in the middle of drills just yesterday. That's not a good sign. That's never a good sign of great things about to happen for the San Francisco 49ers, to the point where Brandon Allen will be the starting quarterback, not Joshua Dobbs, not Tanner Mordecai, Brandon Allen, who's 32, has started 9 NFL games, will be the guy the job falls to if Purdy indeed cannot go. Hopefully Purdy can go. And if he does go, he's going to just be up against it. Seriously. In Green Bay, I mean, we got a revolving door between a deep backfield that doesn't spin like anybody thought it would. You know, Jordan Mason and Isaac Garendo have not been seen basically since Christian McCaffrey has rejoined the conversation. And that to me feels like, you know, maybe it's penny wise, but it feels an awful lot like pounds foolish. And I don't even think it's penny wise in any way, shape, or form. You need to take some heat off of McCaffrey. And what is, I believe, the single most damning, embarrassing stat of the entire year? Do you realize that Brock Purdy leads the 49ers in rushing touchdowns? Like, how's that even possible? With Jordan Mason having led the NFL in rushing yards at one point earlier on in this year, with Isaac Garendo, I mean, this guy is what, you know, voluntarily given himself up within the 5-yard line a couple of times, but Brock Purdy leads the 49ers with 4 rushing touchdowns. And I guess that is a big part of the problem right there. 4 rushing touchdowns leads the 49ers. It's week 12. 4 is the number, and it's your quarterback who has done it. No wonder why this season's been, you know, just been a little off, a little wonky, a little hard to, again, it hasn't come into focus, not for a single week. This entire year has been out of focus. Every single time you look up, it's not really working. Not the way that it used to, not the way that we were used to it working. I mean, it really has been just a tough year. And this is a tough game. And I'll tell you, the Green Bay Packers have an awful lot of motivation to beat the 49ers. They have not forgotten what happened in last year's postseason. I've been watching some Packers channels, Cheesehead TV. My buddy Aaron Nagler runs that. And this is Jordan Love this week talking about how, yeah, we want to put it back on the 49ers. And you know that their coach, LaFleur, is going to want to put it on Shanahan. And if Robert Saleh is really in the building helping things out, that is another advantage that it feels like the Packers are going to have in this game. And again, everything that could be trending in the wrong direction for the 49ers is. Everything that is trending in the wrong direction is officially trending in the wrong direction at the wrong time of the year. This just is not going to be easy to win. Nobody out there is picking the 49ers to win this game. And maybe that's the best chance they actually got. That when the entire world says you can't, NFL teams do find a way. We know that. And again, it certainly doesn't lean into any like in-game analysis or matchups. I don't know how valuable this video is going to be to you in terms of finding the way to victory. I'm going to tell you right now, everyone is picking the Packers. So don't count out the 49ers. But if you start trying to match who's got what, counting out the 49ers is not, it's not unreasonable. Given how the year is gone, given what they are right now walking into this game. Sip of the day. You know, I made coffee early. I had some time. I went upstairs, did a little warm up, a little refresher. So I feel good about that. That's a sip of the day right there. That's good. That works. I see so many folks in the chat today. We will be getting into the chat in a post video club plus that we will have here for you in just a little bit. So don't go anywhere. We are going into the club today. It's a Friday after all. But again, it just feels like the Packers got the wrong formula waiting for the 49ers. You got big arm Jordan Love. You got, you know, a wide receiver in Christian Watson, who is a big downfield target, averaging 19 yards per catch. You got Josh Jacobs, who is great at running the ball. Packers got the fourth best rushing attack in the NFL this year. Josh Jacobs is at the center of it, and he is their Christian McCaffrey light. LaFleur is very comfortable throwing Josh Jacobs the ball with his screens, with his outlet passes. So expect that. Play action is where the Niners used to do so much of their offensive damage. It feels like a forgotten attribute this year. Packers have not forgotten about play action. They run the shit out of it. And you have a running back in Josh Jacobs that you have to respect. You have to be ready for that guy. So play action works for them. You got a ball hawking defense led by Xavier McKinney, who's already got 6 picks on the year, 7 pass deflections. This is an aggressive in its secondary Packers defense. And Kenny Clark is a load in the middle who goes a long way to shutting down the other team's running game. As I was saying, there's a lot of Green Bay 49er past. There's a lot of history in this matchup. There's a lot of evidence in this matchup that a team that needs the game the most doesn't necessarily get it. So maybe that is the one thing that leads and it leans into the Niners a little bit. But there have been great games, weird games. Again, a team that has not done a nice job on special teams for the last decade. The biggest special teams play of the decade was made at Lambeau Field in the snow, blocking a punt, returning it for a touchdown. And in a game where you weren't doing anything, you tied it up 10-10 and then went on a walk-off field goal. Like, there's weird that does happen in this matchup. And the Niners could use as much weird as the football cosmos is prepared to serve them. Because I think weirding up this game is the only way they're going to find a way to win it. Shit just gets weird. Now we got Big Mac 8675, who used to live out here in the Bay Area. He has moved to Green Bay, Wisconsin. He is in the belly of the beast. And he's saying Packers and their fans want this game bad. Yeah. 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 Packers playoffs hope died in Santa Clara. I think the Packers are looking at who the 49ers are and where they are in their season and think we can basically end their year of really thinking that they're a playoff team with a win. That is a motivating thing for a football team that is angry. Again, we will get into the chat when we get to Club Plus. In the meantime, though, hit like and hit subscribe if you would, please, my friends. That is how you support the channel. And I got to tell you, your eyeballs have been supporting the channel in a very, very nice way as well. Yesterday was the single highest single day of views in this channel's history. One short that was about Jared Goff being tackled on a great play action fake. Wasn't even Niner related. Jared Goff, the short about Jared Goff that we put up on the channel has exploded in almost 100,000 views since about 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon. The thing is, you know, I think my most successful in a short amount of time video. And because of that, we've had a great day in views. I've always said the barometer for you had a really, really great day on the channel or a great 48 hours is 100,000 views. We've eclipsed 100,000 views with over 60-something thousand views just yesterday alone in the last 48 hours. And that's the best day we've ever had on the channel. So thank you. You've been doing a great job watching. You've been doing a great job supporting. It means so much. Thank you for hitting that like button. Thank you for hitting notify. Thank you for all the interaction in the chats and the super chats. It really means an awful lot to me and Jillian. We are approaching next week. We will be doing our 400th 11 a.m. West Coast time show, the live Plus show that we're in right now. We're actually going to hit 400 of these things soon. So, you know, thank you so much for all the support that you've given. And again, a great way to support the channel is simply by supporting my sponsors. And that begins and ends, really, with that man right there, the yin and the yang of all we do. Ike has got a delicious sandwich waiting for you. Don't take my word for it. Use his picture to understand how delicious the Damon Bruce is. You get steak, you get steak sauce, you get the onion rings, you get the provolone. I don't do it on Dutch crunch. I'm more of a French bread guy. I leave the tomatoes off. I add red onions. I like extra Godfather sauce on any sandwich from Ike, so I always request that. Get yourself to a delicious sandwich today, this weekend. Get yourself to Ike's and use that rewards app, my friends. When you download that Love Rewards app, you earn your way to a free sandwich just by downloading and signing up. You then earn your way to more free sandwiches as you make your purchases. You get free drinks, free chips, free combos, free chances to win things, including a trip for two to a very large football game that will be played in New Orleans at the Superdome. So lots of reasons, mostly delicious reasons, for you to sign up with Ike's. And if you don't have an Ike's near you, my God, I hope you get one soon. If you don't have a Dubliner near you, my God, I hope you do get one soon. The Dubliner in West Portal is just one of the great neighborhood bars in all of San Francisco and one of the great neighborhoods. So get yourself to the Dubliner. Tell Kenny and John that the Damon Bruce Show sent you. They'll be happy to hear that. And thanks so much to them for supporting all that we do and our good friends over at BetUS right now. Got 150% sign up bonus for you when you use promo code YouTube150. And we thank BetUS as always. And BetUS is streaming, powering this live stream as it does. We thank them very, very much. Go ahead, play responsibly. Obviously, did not do very well on my bet with the 49ers last week. I think the best bets you make are sometimes the ones you don't make. I am advising all 49er fans, do not come within a country mile of this game. Don't. Just don't. Just stay away. It's a layoff. Unless you want to get on the Packers. And that is probably, not even probably about it, that's the better bet. It just feels like the Niners are pointed too many arrows in the wrong direction while the Packers are doing a whole bunch of Packery things. And they got Jordan Love back. They got inner working knowledge of what the Niners do with LaFleur and Saleh probing through game tape. It just, everything about this game going to Green Bay feels wrong, which means maybe while you're watching the game, you'll need a little support system. We'll offer one to you. Join me on Sunday. The broadcast will start at 1:20 West Coast time, kickoff at 1:25 from Lambeau Field. We will be doing our live stream watch party beginning at 1:20 on Sunday and going to the completion of the game. So I hope you plan on being here. That studio is up available. Like, you can go and hit notify and you can pop in that studio now. If you need to, if you feel that you'll be happier if you did while you wait. But really, there's nothing about handicapping this game that I look at and I say, yeah, I like the Niners because of A, B, and C. I don't like the Niners in this game. I don't think you do either. And again, when you start doubting teams, they show you who they really are. But I also think the 49ers have kind of shown us who they really are. And it's just, it's not really who you want them to be. Irwin, fry them cheese curds. You want to talk about delicious, some fried cheese curds. They're good. Not good for you. Good, but not good for you. It's like this show. It's like my sandwich. It's like the Dubliner. It's like all things in life, good for you and you will enjoy it. They rarely walk hand in hand. They really do. Packers are still pissed about losing in Santa Clara. Brock Purdy, injury concerns. Trent Williams, injury concerns. I don't think we haven't got the official word on who's out of this game. I don't think we're going to see Nick Bosa in this game. And that's bad for Ball. That is officially bad for Ball. Oh, it ain't good, kids. It ain't good. And what's the old saying? Like, oh, it's always the darkest right before the dawn. Well, even if the sun would rise on this game, you got at Buffalo waiting for you next week. Oy. These are tough back-to-back games. Steve-O, good advice, Steve-O. Nut up. Yeah, nut up. Whole team, nut up. Deebo Samuel. Look, maybe it's time to shut up. Like when Terrell Owens is like, you're trying too hard. You might be trying too hard. Terrell Owens basically called out Deebo Samuel, saying this guy seems to be a little bit more concerned about his pregame fit check than he is the fact that he is not fitting into game plans the way that he used to. And Deebo was even like, come on, man, same team, same, you know, what's up, fam, lay off. I'm just telling you right now, Deebo Samuel, it's time for you to have a big game. If you got one left, if you know, Mr. Once a Month, if you got a big game in you, it needs to go to Lambeau Field. You have been a massive disappointment, Deebo Samuel. I don't know anybody who is running to listen to your podcast. I don't care what you say, how you say it, or really how you dress, as long as you produce. When you're not producing, that's when the value is impossible to see. And for a guy who's making $28 million, it's not good to not be able to see your value. George Kittle has got to basically score, what, 3-4 touchdowns in this game for the Niners to win it. Christian McCaffrey's got to find himself falling into the end zone time after time after time after time again somehow, some way. Just doesn't feel right, man. It doesn't feel right. Again, we'll get to Club Plus, which always feels right. We do pause for super chats, though. Deebo has not shown up since the Eagles game. Last year. Yeah, Mike. It's not good. Things aren't good around the San Francisco 49ers right now. But thank you very much for the super chat. Really appreciate it again. Ike's Dubliner, BetUS, super chat. Hit the like, hit the subscribe, and you are supporting the channel in fine, fine fashion. We didn't officially do it on Wake Up, but every time on Wake Up we get back after a Niner game, we usually give like a lobster roll MVP of the game away. The NFL right now already, I think, basically has its lobster roll to give away. The lobster roll of the NFL week is right here. Look at this. I got to zoom in here a little bit more. The MVP of this week is this snow.
29 yards. He was just active before the game.
How about this call here?
Look at this game in Cleveland and Pittsburgh last night. Look at that. How gorgeous is that? How awesome is that? I mean, God gave us high definition television to enjoy moments like this game last night. Look at are those the fattest snowflakes you have ever seen in your life? About 10 minutes before this flurry started, you could see the green grass, the turf. You could see it all. It was a whiteout at times after the game. What a just magical, magical evening of football, thanks to the snow. The snow is your MVP of last night's game and maybe the entire week. What a shame that they're thinking about building a dome in Cleveland. They're going to eventually get, a dome in Buffalo? We're not going to have these games to offer anymore. It was great theater. It was great drama. My boys were both walking in saying, look at this. Look at this. Yeah, and I agree with you right here. Michael, who's been a member now for nearly a year, Michael. Thank you. My kids thought it was fascinating that the players turned transparent on TV. Yeah, they were trying to graphically put yard markers on there, and it turned players in their Steelers jerseys wearing white. They got a little transparent. You could see through them. And my kids saw that too. Jillian was on the couch. Everyone in the family was watching the game. Not because anybody cares about the Steelers or the Packers, or excuse me, the Steelers or the Browns. It was because of the snow. The snow was fantastic. Steve says Buffalo's not building a dome. Thank God. Football's supposed to be outdoors. Although they probably should have put the same dome that they put over SoFi Stadium over Levi's Stadium so people are not getting cooked in the sun. How great was that? By the way, let me click off of that to move onto this, because how great is this guy? Hold on. Let me bring this up. I got a little show and tell for you today here. Where's my Jameis? Here we go. I'm going to bring the volume up off on this. Hold on. Volume up. Look at Jameis walking off the field last night. How great is this guy? He is just maybe the most quotable player we got in the NFL right now. Jameis Winston, after a big win, here he is walking off the field.
I just got off Amazon, and I'm probably about to go order a dub off Amazon. It's going to get here to my house by 9 o'clock tonight. That's how fast it is. I just got off Amazon, and I'm probably about to go order a dub off Amazon. It's going to get here to my house by 9 o'clock tonight. That's how fast it is.
I'm going to go order a win. It'll get here by 9 o'clock tonight. That's how fast it is. That's how fast it is. How great is that? Now, I wish, I don't know, maybe the lighting in this press conference had to go because they had to figure out a way to pay Deshaun Watson. But this is Jameis Winston. Just listen to him talking about that game last night.
NFL Films game against.
Man, you know, it really was amazing. Like, I was just praying on the sideline because that fourth quarter, it really was like it was a whole paradigm shift. Like, we were playing so well offensively, and then bang, bang, back-to-back drives with turnovers. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, this is really an NFL film moment. The snow starts pouring down. It starts getting like my feet started getting heavy because I'm squishing through the snow. And man, it was so good. And it was so great to end up in that win.
I freaking love them. How great is that? How great is that? Jameis is just, I mean, be expressive. Put a little personality out there for us to enjoy. He is fantastic, man. Freaking Jameis Winston. How great was that? I had to share that with you. I had to share that with you. I'll tell you, you know, we see it all the time. We see it in the ratings. I just read this article about how football's popularity is just, it's totally unmatched. I mean, there's nothing like it in America right now. Movies, video games, OnlyFans, pornography. I mean, the amount of things that are more popular than football, there's not a lot of them. And football is literally the only reason why linear television, I think, still exists. Got this from Barrett Media, my old program director, Jason Barrett. The NFL is enjoying its best ratings through 11 weeks since 2015 with an average of 17.5 million viewers per game. Doesn't matter what the game, Vikings, Titans, Jaguars, Chargers, no matter what it is, you put that game on TV, if it's an NFL game, it is averaging 17.5 million viewers through the games. Through 11 weeks, 47 of the top 50 shows on television have been NFL games. And, you know, when you get to the end of the year, the number is always like, you know, it's 98 of the top 100. You know, you get a presidential debate or an Academy Awards or a college football national title game. Something that is just a huge, huge, huge. I mean, we are addicted to football. Huge. By the way, Nobody pulls them in quite like the Kansas City Chiefs. The single largest audience for a game this past weekend was Chiefs at Bills. That game averaged 31.2 million viewers. That's 3 million viewers more than the second highest rated game of the year, which was week one opening night, Chiefs and Ravens. That's the second highest rated game of the year so far. The third highest rated game of the year so far. Also the Chiefs and Bengals from earlier on in the year, back in week two, that averaged 28 million. I mean, think about that. I mean, there is no scenario in which smaller market teams can deliver a higher rating than the NFL. I mean, imagine for a second it was the Kansas City Royals against, well, there is no upstate New York baseball team to offer you, but Kansas City Royals, freaking, you know, Montreal Expos, one of the highest rated games of the year. No chance. But you can have the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills, and it's the highest rated game of the year so far. Small markets. Unbelievable. Don't need Dallas. Don't need New York's market. Don't need Chicago. Don't need the Niners. You can get the biggest rating with Chiefs, Bills. You try doing that with, Oklahoma City Thunder versus Charlotte Hornets. I mean, if that were the NBA Finals, they probably wouldn't even put it on TV. I mean, I'd watch, but you know what I mean. It's just, it's unbelievable. SG Sports Talk. Damon, stay off OnlyFans. Yeah, why would anyone pay for that? I don't understand it. Damon's got his OnlyFans account. It's very artistic and tasteful. Yeah, how many? It's got 31.2 million viewers, Otis. Isn't that unbelievable? Let's see, the combined salary of OnlyFans content creators is more than the combined salary of NBA players. That's amazing. Get some serious lonely people. I'd say working through their own problems, but I guess you're jerking through your own problems at that point. Let's see. Sometimes there's enough evidence in the world to just let you know, don't do it on that day. And boy, how about this for just stay away from games on November 18th in the city of Washington, D.C. Listen to this. So November 18th. We just passed this. I'm sorry, I'm a little late to this, but I just saw this 2 days ago. November 18th, 1985, is when Joe Theismann broke his leg playing for the Redskins. Lawrence Taylor broke his leg, one of the worst sports injuries you'll ever see in your life. November 18th, 1985, Joe Theismann breaks his leg. November 18th, 2018, Redskins quarterback Alex Smith breaks his leg on the same day as Joe Theismann did. Well, guess what just happened on November 18th, 2024? Washington Capitals forward Alexander Ovechkin broke his leg. Why are you still playing sporting events on November 18th in the city of DC? That should be a full-on cease and desist. I mean, my God. Theismann breaks his leg on November 18th. Smith breaks his leg on November 18th. Alex Ovechkin breaks his leg on November 18th in DC. I mean, if that ain't a curse, what is? Just avoid November 18th, all DC-based professional athletes. Little friendly advice from Uncle Damon to you. We gave you the friendly advice, I believe, just yesterday's show, that if you're a professional athlete, make sure you got somebody watching your house when we all know where you are playing a game. We saw that Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce got their homes broken into when they were playing a game earlier this year. The NBA has picked up on this story and has basically started warning NBA players, look at what's happening in the NFL. Make sure that you got somebody watching your house when we all know that you ain't at your house because you're on a team and your team is playing a game tonight. That is good advice. Again, Marshawn Lynch, it all comes back to lessons Marshawn has taught us all. Mind your chicken. Protect your home when we know you ain't in it. This is very good advice. So look, Club Plus will offer, I don't know any good advice, but interesting observations based on your thoughts throughout the world. Yeah, we got it all coming up for you. The last thing we have for you this week, though, is simply today in history. And our very last item will make you feel old. I promise. We will begin, though, with that old feeling you get when it is your birthday, and we are celebrating the birthday of not just one, but two Avengers. Two Avengers. Today is Mark Ruffalo's birthday. He is 57 years old. He took a spin as obviously the Incredible Hulk. I don't know where he is now. He's probably worried about fracking somewhere. But Mark Ruffalo, happy birthday, 57 years old, and he shares the same birthday with the Black Widow herself. Scarlett Johansson turns 40 today. Looking great for 40, Scarlett. Scarlett Johansson, happy birthday. She is 40 years old today. Two Avengers, similar, same birthday. Not similar, same. What are the chances? If you are of a certain age, November 22nd is frozen in time because one of the single most sadly historic moments in our nation's history happened today, November 22nd, 1963. Robert F. Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas. Today in 1963, 61 years ago, Kennedy was assassinated. I have been to Dealey Plaza. I went to Dallas for a wedding several years ago. And the day after the wedding, a bridesmaid who I had been hitting on the night before to no avail said basically, okay, Gunner, you're not getting any, but you know, you're a nice guy. I've enjoyed, you want to go to lunch tomorrow? Sure. And I said, I want to go to the museum. I want to go to the Kennedy Museum, the school book depository, which they have turned the seventh floor of that school book depository into a museum about the assassination. And you get to go and actually look out the window that Lee Harvey Oswald supposedly took his shots from. And as soon as you get there, as soon as you see it, you're like, no fucking way did this guy do this alone. No way. No way. And then you see that Zapruder film. And it's just simply back into the left. Back. And to the left. Yeah, that was a conspiracy for sure. I mean, as soon as you get there, you look out that window and you're just like, no. Unless you are, you know, a active world-class military sniper, not just some dude with a rifle, you're not getting that off. No way. And by the way, that weekend at the wedding, I didn't get anything off either. But I got to go to the museum. Very, very interesting. Very well done. And then you're like, oh, and it's all a lie. Warren Commission. But that, by the way, is not the thing that makes you feel really, really old. Nor should this be. But today in 1986, thank you very much. Mike Tyson knocked Trevor Burbick the fuck out and became the youngest heavyweight champion of all time at just 20 years old. Mike Tyson, the youngest heavyweight champ today in 1986. But that's not going to make you feel really old. And what's odd is what is going to make you feel really old is what is, it's actually younger than Mike Tyson becoming the heavyweight champion of the world at the age of 20. Here you go. This is going to make you feel old. Because today in 1995, Hollywood would change forever as the movie Toy Story was released by Pixar. It was the first entirely computer animated movie ever, and it was stunning. I mean, you only get to lose your virginity once, right? And I remember going to the movie theater thinking, all right, what's a fully computer animated? It was unbelievable the very first time you saw it. It was kind of like, you know, Avatar? Eh, not a very good movie, but the first time you saw Avatar 3D in IMAX, you were like, holy shit. You know, never seen anything like that before. Well, Toy Story, when it came out, was one of those never seen anything like that before. You know, we didn't get to see the first movie in color. We weren't there in the movie theater for the very first time when Munchkin Land went from black and white to in color. We weren't there for the first talkie or the movie with sound, but we were there for the very first all computer generated animated film. And Woody and Buzz are now 29 years old. What today is going to make you feel older than that? Toy Story is 29 years old, almost 30. Again, if Toy Story were, you know, a woman, she'd be turning 29 again next year too on this day, but now almost 30. Unbelievable. And there you go. Yeah, True Blue forever. Just dang. Yeah, right? 29 years old. And Otis, you got a friend in me. Absolutely, man. You got a friend in me. You know, you can't have that movie without that song. Randy Newman, you got a friend in me. What Family Guy took that? Oh, see, Smiley Dan, we're the same guy. When Family Guy spoofed Toy Story, Woody walks around and Buzz and Bo Peep, and he shrugs and said, "You have a friend in me." Well, doesn't Family Guy also really like brutally rip Randy Newman? Or maybe that was South Park. I don't know, but yeah, congratulations, everyone. We're getting older by the minute. I mean, the alternate being you're not getting older by the minute isn't very good. So you want to be getting older by the minute. Yeah, left foot, right foot, True Blue forever. Left foot, somebody do it by foot. Rockin' New Era says, Tolbert has an AC/DC shirt older than Toy Story. Yeah, I mean, 1985, look at it this way, 1995, I'm at Indiana University, and I definitely still have a t-shirt. I definitely still have a t-shirt from my days at IU that is older. By the way, speaking of t-shirts from IU, let's go Hoosiers! Let's go! Got to beat Ohio State. Oh, speaking of which, my man Vasu, 9 a.m., that's what I'm looking forward to. I seriously wish it wasn't at 9 a.m., though. Can't put this thing in the afternoon. I got to peel myself out of bed, feed everybody in my house, and be in front of the TV a little drunk, a little high at 9 a.m. Like, okay, I can do it, but shit. I wish I had a little bit more tarmac to take off from. No more tarmac remains in this show. The flight is over. Thank you again to BetUS for powering our live stream. And I want to say once again that you can, by using promo code YouTube150, get 150% sign up bonus on your first deposit up to $2,000 over at BetUS, where the game begins. You got a few plays to make this coming football weekend. Make them over on BetUS. You'll be happy that you did. My man Ike has got something delicious waiting for you. You order Ike's today, this weekend. Look, you got a big meal that everyone's going to be preparing next week with Thanksgiving coming. It's the perfect time to get a sandwich from Ike's the day before, the day after. You want a Thanksgiving-based style of sandwich? Ike's got that for you, too. Freaking love you, Ike. Thank you so much for supporting this channel. To our friends at the Dubliner, You're just fantastic. We love you, Dubliner. We hope you have a great Thanksgiving week next week. And everyone, pile into the Dubliner for all of your drinking in a great bar needs. You got them at the Dubliner, and make sure you tell Kenny and John that Damon sent you. They love hearing that. Oh, you know what? I buried the lead of this entire show. We were talking about college, my Hoosiers, and all this stuff. Do you know that we officially have a three-team Pop-Tart Bowl coming? I saw Nicole Auerbach saying that we are going to have three Pop-Tart mascots this year. I don't know which one gets to jump into the giant toaster, but Frosted Hot Fudge Sundae, Frosted Wildberry, and a mystery flavor that is coming back from the vault. We still do not know, and this is where intrigue lies, boys and girls. Only one mascot will achieve the ultimate pastry dream of being eaten by the winning team. The game's MVP of the Pop-Tart Bowl will pick the winning Pop-Tart, which I'm guessing is the Pop-Tart that jumps in the big toaster. I'm excited about the Pop-Tart Bowl. I think you are too. And there you go. I should have started the whole show with that. The likes, the views would have been through the roof. How are we doing from a like standpoint, by the way? Oh, we need to get those up, boys and girls. You hit that like button. I need you on that like button. You want to be on that like button. I know you do. Never was a big Pop-Tart guy. I don't like starting my day with sickening sweet. It's just me. Even as a kid, wasn't a Pop-Tart guy. I don't like hot fruit. And I know that saying that some of that is fruit is a huge stretch of the definition of the word fruit, but you know what I mean. And there we go, kids. There we go. I hope you enjoyed today's show. Thank you so much. If you're listening on the podcast, this is where we leave you. But if you're watching on YouTube, we're about to hop into Club Plus. But let me just quickly say thank you very much for being here, my good friends. And please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it. And like that,